Well, Jake Fromm has some basic advice for whomever the next Georgia quarterback is going to be. We'll hear that in about 10 minutes or so. But right now we are joined on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line by Todd Blackledge from ABC and ESPN. Of course, their draft coverage, they'll be combining on Thursday and Friday into Saturday to cover all of the rounds, and we'll talk about how they're raising some money to fight this pandemic as well. Todd, thanks for coming on, as always. How you doing this morning? Staying safe, I assume?
Yes, I am. Thank you. I hope you guys are as well.
We are. Let's talk about your experience with getting ready, leaving Penn State, winning a national title. We've talked about that with you before, but your combine experience, lack thereof, what was it like as you got ready for the draft, getting picked in the first round, might we add?
Yeah, well, my situation was a little bit different because, you know, obviously there wasn't nearly as much hype leading up to the draft. There weren't the same kind of individual workouts as much as there are today. As far as the combine, I didn't go to the combine because I had another year of eligibility had I chosen to go back for another year at Penn State. So I hadn't made that decision yet. And so I didn't participate in the combine, didn't participate in the Senior Bowl or anything like that. And when I did make the decision, there were some teams that wanted me to work out for them, and so I did that up in State College on a handful of occasions. So it was a little different situation, certainly not as big of a deal as the draft has been the last several years. Now, obviously, this year is going to be dramatically different.
Hey, Todd, they talk about the 15 minutes up in Indianapolis and how important that is to at least lay a little groundwork. What did it work like with you not going to the combine? How many teams pulled you aside to have what we would call that conversation where they want to get to know you a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was probably a half a dozen teams that I met with. Some of them I just met and talked with. Some of them I met, they wanted their medical people to take a look at me and have their own report, I guess. And in some cases, I actually threw and worked out for some teams. So there was a combination of those things.
They talk about five tool guys in baseball. Could you make every throw as a kid coming out?
Yeah, that was the one thing that I could do really well. I could really throw the football. And, you know, at that time, obviously, there were several quarterbacks coming out of college football that were prototype-type NFL quarterbacks. In fact, six of us were drafted in the first round, and we all kind of fit the same profile of big with NFL-caliber arms. And then in the one case of John Elway, you know, he kind of had that dual-threat capability that is so coveted now, I think.
Todd Blackledge with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. We know that Joe Burrow is atop the draft class. What are your thoughts on Tua? Because there seems to be now more of a backlash, at least when it comes to his health. There seems to be more concern as we get closer to the draft.
Well, it has to be a concern. I mean, you're talking about investing millions of dollars in that position, and then a guy like Tua. Now, when he is healthy, he's spectacular. I mean, I've seen enough of him and covered him enough. He has uncanny accuracy. He has great hands and feet. He can make any throw you want. And again, he has the ability to put the ball in the right spot in a very soft pass, as well as anybody that I've seen in college football. But the idea of his health is, you know, that's certainly a concern. The ankle injuries were significant. The hip injury, incredibly significant. And so, you know, by all accounts, he seems to be on schedule and maybe ahead of schedule, but it's certainly going to be a concern for people.
The idea of system, if you were actually running one of these and you just said, okay, who's the best quarterback? How much do you have to take into play who your OC is, maybe what your division is like? How many layers that we don't really talk about? We say, is the guy healthy and can the guy make every throw? But how deeper, or how much deeper should it actually go with those other things when it comes to fit? And how many times does a team get it wrong, not because the guy can't play, but because the fit was wrong?
Well, I think that's a very important point. I think that you have to look at all of that. I mean, I think it's not just a matter of, you know, what the guy's skill set is. I mean, obviously that's a big part of it, and that's a big box you have to check. But that offensive coordinator, that system, that supporting cast, the whether they play indoors or outdoor, all those kind of things factor in to a quarterback making the best or the smoothest transition that a guy can make.
How many times, because first-round quarterbacks, just in the first round, it's a 50-50 coin flip. How many times do you think it's not been about talent, it's been about square peg, round hole? I don't know if anybody's really ever tried to study that or if it's a tangible thing that you can measure, but how often do you think they miss on that second part?
Well, I'm sure they do. I don't know what the percentages would be. I don't know how many times that does happen, but it certainly does happen, you know. And you can look at a guy and say, well, you know, he seems to have everything that you want. But for instance, let me take a guy that I covered a lot this year, Justin Herbert from Oregon. I think Justin Herbert is a remarkably talented quarterback, great arm. He's big. He's athletic, probably more athletic than people know or give him credit for. He's super smart, you know, in the classroom. I think he was a biochemistry major at Oregon. I mean, he's a very smart, articulate kid. But I think for him, being in the rights, he didn't play in necessarily a pro-style system for the last couple of years at Oregon. He has everything you want from a physical, mental, attitude, all those kind of things. But I think it's going to be very important for him to be in the right place with the right coach that can kind of take him to that next level as an NFL guy who can process things and see things and react to things, you know, quickly. And that, so I think that, you know, that he's a perfect example of going to the right place.
Finishing up with Todd Blackledge from ESPN and ABC as he joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Certainly locally, Jake Fromm is the topic of conversation. Right before you came on, there was a writer up in New England that compared his scenario to Tom Brady coming into the NFL. We've heard others compare him to Drew Brees, and then we've heard others say third, fourth round. Where do you stand with Jake Fromm?
Yeah, I think I like Jake Fromm a lot. And I think that there was a point in time in his career when a lot of people, not just a writer in New England, was making those kind of comparisons, the way he played the position to the way that Tom plays. And not that he's the same guy or is going to have that kind of success, but he's a guy who processes things very quickly. He's a dynamic leader. He's a fierce competitor. And you got to remember, this is a guy who was responsible for Jacob Eason going somewhere else and Justin Fields going somewhere else. And that wasn't just because the coaches liked Jake Fromm better. He just was not going to give up that job. And so last year, his supporting cast was not very good. His wide receiving core was young and unproven, and he suffered because of that. I think he probably tried to do more than he was able to do at times. But I do think Jake Fromm is a guy that's capable of being a good NFL quarterback, again, in the right place at the right time. But he's got a lot of the intangibles that will play well, not only on the field, but in the locker room.
Hey, Todd, real quick, how fast do you realize the game is faster, the ends come off a little bit faster? I'm assuming it's the first couple of days of camp, even before you play an NFL game, and that corners and safeties, they close faster. Stuff that you had open in college is not really the same in the NFL.
Well, you learn pretty quickly. Now, I will say this. I mean, when you're playing in the SEC in particular, you're playing at the highest level of college football. And so you're seeing corners and outside linebackers and defensive ends that are there. Many of them are going to be playing at that next level as well. But it still is kind of a different game, a faster game, a more physical game when you make that next step.
Hey, Todd, before we let you go, it's all conjecture at this point, but it's the stock question we're asking everybody, and we've talked about it, obviously, on a day-to-day basis. What do you think about the season starting on time?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I'm hopeful that it will. I think we're still a pretty far ways out to make any kind of speculations one way or the other. You know, I know that from my standpoint, I am preparing mentally and emotionally to be working in the fall. But certainly the safety and the well-being of people all over our country, all over the world, and student athletes and students in general is going to be paramount. So I'm hopeful that we will, but I think it's way too early to know now.
Hey, Todd, let's finish with this. Can you actually bring football back without the schools themselves being open, without campuses working as normal universities?
So I guess they probably could, I don't know that would be impossible, but I do think at least the last couple of things I've seen, a lot of the ADs have said that that's not something that they're interested in doing. So we'll see. Again, as we get closer, And those decisions have to be made. We'll see where people stand. And, you know, the fact that there is no central governing body in college football and kind of these conferences all operate a little bit independently, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But let's hope that our doctors and scientists and you know, just everybody that's working on bringing this pandemic to an end and eradicating it have great success and you know, those kind of things like football, which are vitally important. You know, I've been around football my whole life and been involved in sports my whole life. But in times like this, it puts things in perspective, you know, and it's really not an end-all thing. As much as you love it, and much as, you know, it's been a part of my life, there are other things that end up being a little bit more important.
Well, Todd, you and I have this in common. I've got not one but two barking hounds in my house. You handled yourself very well during that conversation.
Yeah, I have three, and two of them just bark at everything. So, yeah.
Todd, thanks for the time. We'll talk some football in the not-too-distant future, hopefully.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
You got it. Todd Blackledge from ESPN. Don't forget the draft itself originating from Bristol, Connecticut, and this draft-a-thon deal that is going on. You can help out the American Red Cross, the CDC, the Feeding America's COVID-19 Response Fund, Meals on Wheels, Salvation Army, and the United Way. All of the funds that they raise are going to go to those six charities on draft night. In fact, not only Thursday, but Friday and Saturday as well.